My name is Tim, and this is the year that would change my life forever.
Happy New Year!
I just didn't know it yet.
Tim, my dear son, this is going to sound strange, but there's this family secret that the men in the family can travel in time.
A romantic comedy of such kind. My British stuff. Lehu, do you have your tea and crumpets with you right now?
Oh, yes, I do. Now it's time to get our British language down. Fish and chips and twats.
Fish and tits and twat. I don't say fish and tits. What?
I said fish and chips, you horny bastard.
Yeah, well, I guess that accent is gone now, whatever that fucked up was. People hear about time, whatever.
The most British romantic comedy you've seen in years.
Which, I don't know how Lehu feels about the movie, but I have to say, because I know this for a fact about both of us, we're not really all that into romantic comedy because they follow that same formula that they talked about in Don Juan, but...
Yes, no, we're fucking not.
Yes, but, you know, first you have your Modern Day of Summer, great film, probably the best romantic comedy ever. You got your Silver Linings Playbook, you got your Don John, and now you got About Time, which I have to actually put up there on that list.
I do. I'm right there with you. This is a big fucking surprise for me.
Yeah, because I thought, honestly, going into, I already told you that I was looking forward to seeing the film, whatever, but I was like, it looks kind of cheesy and sappy, but it actually looks kind of cute, whatever. And for some reason, I actually thought it would have been cheesier than what it was, and it kind of wasn't. But it was still delightful to see, actually.
Yeah, because...
It was delightful.
Because I was thinking about this, like, after we walked out, and I was like, this movie manages to pull off drama and romance both in an equal manner. Like, it gets the drama right and it gets the romance right. So what's the difference between something like this and Nicholas Sparks? Oh, I know. It's the fact that Nicholas Sparks movies, you can see that drama coming from literally 5 minutes into the movie. Whereas this, it has an interesting kind of gimmick, if you can call it, that does keep the plot interesting. And that really, well, P1, what's the plot of this? So you can talk about this gimmick.
I don't feel any bad reason for you saying gimmick. Gimmick isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not.
I would agree with you that it is a gimmick, whatever, but it actually, if you want to put, I guess, a sci-fi element to it, if you will, or whatever, in a non-sci-fi way, I mean, I think that kind of kept, I mean, the gimmick actually worked in as far as keeping this shit going, whatever, because I don't know about you, but the gimmick to me actually kept the danger of this up, because I was just like, thinking what his father said in the first place, going like, man, you keep going back, and you just kind of fuck something up, you just gotta stop it, man. I don't know if you felt the same way, but I know I did a couple of times towards the end of the film. Yeah, like you said, the plot here is Tim, I believe that's his name. Tim played, what's his name? Goddamn,
Domhnall Gleeson.
Gleeson, yeah, that's right, whatever. Just turned 21, realizing that he made the biggest mistake of his life at his New Year's party by not kissing this chick.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you get introduced to this guy, and it's like, this is Tim Gleeson. He's like, well, hi, Glavin.
You know what? I have to respect the gingers now for seeing
it. I do, too. No, I do, too. Because, like, you see this guy, it's like, oh, he's kind of earnest. And at least, like, you know, he's honest. He's earnest. You can see that he's a good guy. He's just a little awkward and an idiot.
He has a soul. I believe that.
No, he does. It's evidently clear as the film goes on that he has a soul.
Yeah, Rupert Grint didn't have a soul. But this kid did have a soul. I saw the soul in him, whatever.
Yeah, so pretty much what happens at this first New Year's party is that he goes, and he's talking to this girl, and then Happy New Year comes! And of course, when Happy New Year comes, if you're P1, that means grab the closest bitch to you and put one right on her lips and in between her legs. Oops, I'm sorry I said that out loud.
That brother shook her hand, started laughing.
Exactly. He just goes, how do you do, ma'am? And it's like, what the fuck? Okay, I'm an idiot, but even I know what to do when the Happy New Year ball drops.
I seen it happen before. That's why I was so funny to be whatever. I was like, damn. I know I saw that in the trailer, too. It shows in the trailer, people, but for some reason, when you see it just happen, that moment when he's walking down the stairs and everything, and it happens, you just can't help but laugh.
It's awkwardly like, hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. It's awkward, because even the girl is awkward. She's like, oh my god, what the fuck were you thinking?
Yeah, so the next day, like, was it the next day or was it a couple weeks later? They didn't really specify.
I think it was the next day later, if I'm not mistaken. Because he was in bed, remember? He was hungover and
shit. Oh, right. Okay, so the next day, his dad, played by Bill Nighy, comes along and is like,
yeah.
Yeah, happy 21st birthday, son. So, here's the deal. Men in our family can time travel. What? Why? Don't fucking worry about it. Just...
I like that little bicker they had, too, about it. He was like, let's just say this is real, because it's not, but it totally is, though. He's like, but it's not, though, but you should try it out.
It's filmed very well. It's filmed very well.
I like they actually were father and son, though, the way they were having a conversation with each other, and I actually felt the family was, like, something where I go off and say, which I know is not even a front, nowhere near comparison, but Medea's witness protection. Well, I was supposed to sit up here and believe that they were an actually family with Denise Richards and Eugene Levy and shit like that. I was like, I don't see that shit at all. But here, I was like, wow, I feel like every one of these members of the family. Plus, the sister is a free spirit, if you will, Lehu.
Is that the way you put it?
You want me to be an asshole if you want. She's the fucking hippie. A goddamn hippie.
This is movie hippie. Spoilers. We don't cut short the spoilers.
It's fucking funny because the family, because it opens up with Tim introducing the family. They go like, you got an uncle who is getting not old. I guess he's got dementia, I guess. Memory loss and relapses and shit like that, whatever. He loses the memory every now and then, whatever. But he's always dressed well. He's fine. Even when I go to the beach or whatever, he's in a suit, got some tea and crumpets and whatever. The mother, she's the whole part of the family. She keeps together. Her father is the fun, bloody one.
In other words, if you've seen any British show ever, you've seen this family.
I'm shocked that they didn't well, you know what, I don't watch the BBC, but maybe they was promoting this movie a lot on here.
Oh, yeah, they did. From what I heard from people, they did.
Okay, so, people, you'll probably be watching this on BBC soon, pretty soon, whatever, I don't know. But,
Sherlock!
And you see the sister, and she's just running around with no shoes, and I'm just like, how the fuck did that happen?
Yeah, because, well, the reason we should mention that why this is so British is because this is directed by Richard Curtis, and written by him, too.
I didn't know it was written by him. Okay.
Yeah, it's written and directed by him. And Richard Curtis did Bridget Jones' Diary. And the big one that he did was Love Actually, which I've never seen.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I thought this one was better, if you ask me. I know, didn't he do that movie, too, with, what's her name? I forgot her damn name. American Sweetheart, not Sandra Bullock, the other one.
Reese Witherspoon.
Was she at the Notting Hill?
Yeah, Notting Hill.
Julia Roberts, is it?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so yeah, he did that one whenever too as well.
He seems to work very well with Hugh Grant.
Yeah, that's another thing too, whatever. But yeah, you know what? I have a lot of criticism on there. I mean, I'm not so much negative criticism, or actually, but it's getting like average reviews, not like so much. Like, and I was like, actually, this is kind of refreshing, if you ask me. This year has been pretty refreshing on kind of comedies.
Yeah, because you're starting to finally see writers and directors looking at this genre and go, oh, fuck, this is trite.
Mm-hmm. And but actually, once again, I gotta say, word is actually pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, like, because he eventually meets Rachel McAdams, and he's, like, he's floored by her.
Which was a great scene, too, how they met, too. The first time they meet is, I guess they're watching a play, but I don't know from their point of view how they saw it or whatever, but from our point of view, the room is just, you don't see anything going on. All you hear is conversation between him, Rachel McAdams, his friend, and Rachel McAdams' friend or whatever. And you just hear this flirtation going back and forth, whatever. And I was like, I didn't like this style, right? I was like, that was a great shot to do, whatever. And when they first walk out, since they haven't seen each other, this is their first time meeting each other, and they're just like taking a whip with each other in the conversation. And I was like, I like that touch a lot. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Some romantic comedies now or something.
No, I do too, because it's one of those things where it puts the focus on the girl. It makes you feel like that you're that person admiring the girl. And another thing that I really like is that they really make Rachel McAdams look different than she has in any other movie. And I was sitting there like, wow, she's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, she's fucking hot. Like, there's a, okay, but at the point of the movie, there's this his sister's friend comes to stay with them. She's fucking gorgeous, right? There's a scene in this movie where, I guess in that happening, he asked her out or whatever and stuff like that. She pretty much visits him and said, years from now, whatever. They actually run into each other again, which I thought was probably the best scene in the movie. Where they go out to dinner and stuff like that. They have a good time talking to her. She invites him back to the place. And she's like, hey, you want to come in? And he just looks at her and was like, because I was saying, like, don't do it, man. You got a fine piece of ass back. Don't do it. He just looks at her and goes like, you know what? I'll decline it offer. And he goes and proposes. And I was like, was really sweet. And then it gets kind of funny because he was like, I heard that music. He's like, yeah, I'm not that sad because you see a fucking Mexican mariachi there or whatever.
Yeah, no. One of the great scenes to me is when they first meet and they go on their first date. And then when they have sex the first time, he kind of sucks. So he's like, I have an idea.
Not the best thing of this time, dude, because I heard someone say that, oh, this is the best use that going back in time thing, whatever. And I was like, well, I took this like as I would in Chronicle. What would you do if you got powers? You'd be fucking around, right? Well, if you could go back in time, wouldn't you just fix the shit that you felt like a dumbass in or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. Because like the first time he tries to ask her out, you said it like he just completely fucks up. So he comes back and he's just like, oh, you're one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. Do I remind you of your mom? No, not at all.
He's all smooth and stuff. Like first time he comes in, trips over shoes and shit. Like, the first time they're about to have sex, tripping over shoes and shit, couldn't get it wrong and everything, and then it lasted for about a minute or two, whatever. He comes back the second time, fucking rocks her world, but this time he plays it really smooth by knowing where it ought to come off and everything. She's just like, oh my God, or whatever. You know, and then she's like, wow, that was so amazing, whatever. And then you're thinking like, yeah, it was amazing. And then he don't stop there, but no. He got back in time again to fuck her world even up more. I was just like, damn, dude. I found it sweet, romantic. I actually pretty funny too at the time. I mean,
one of the things that I really, really, really enjoy is that, you know, it, like we said, it uses the time travel thing to hilarious methods, but it's not afraid to where most comedies like this would never go to the dark way of how this can go bad. This does.
Oh, yeah, because the first half of the movie is the comedy part, but then once he already has the girl, you kind of like, okay. Because to me, I think her name was, it was Mary in the film. Once he got Mary, you're thinking like, okay, here comes the breakup part and all that shit. No, they don't do that. What the film decides to do is, like you just said, turns the girl into a darker place. And I was like, wow. So the first half was pretty much the comedy here, and now the second half is a more serious tone, dramatic, darker effects between the family member.
Right, because what happens is that Bill Nighy's character, he ends up getting cancer.
Yeah, and it was funny because he was like, he can't go back in time and fix it in his father. Bill Nighy, he looks at him and was like, you don't think I tried that?
Look, that is the funny part where, like, Bill Nighy, I mean, he kills it in this movie. He's fantastic. Yeah. But, like, that's the thing. It's like where he's like, son, I have cancer. And he's like, well, you could just go back in time and fix that. And he slaps him across the head. He's like, dumbass, you didn't think I didn't think of that?
He's leaning on that dresser and he got his hand on him. He's looking at him. He's like, really? But you know what I got out of that scene, too? It's because like earlier in the scene, when he went back in time and prevented his sister from meeting this guy or whatever, the party, whatever, which changed his whole world of his kid and everything like that, I thought Bill Nighy was going to tell him, you wasn't the first child.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those weird things where I like in the second half of the film, like there's repercussions for every time he goes back. Like he goes back and like tries to make sure that his father doesn't die. And when he goes back, he realizes his wife has never met him. He's like, oh, fuck me.
Yeah, you know what I thought was really going to happen? I thought that the fact that he was going to say, I thought he was going to have a chance to save his father, but he ended up having to leave his wife that he's and his kid or whatever. And I thought he's going to have to make the choice whether he's going to save his father or save his wife and kid now, or whatever. And I was like, man, this movie's, you know, I mean, this movie actually could have went so many routes with her. I would love to see, like, just remakes or whatever with the same cast and everything. So I want to see different endings. Because they all can do something like good
and
bad.
Right, no, I agree. And what ends up happening in the end, people, is that he ultimately decides, look, I want to have a family. I want to keep this girl. If for this to happen with my powers, dad's got to go.
Yeah, and his dad breaks it down to him. He's like, you got to let me go. He's like, that was a hard touch. I said that, that was. So him and his father having that conversation, and he was calling my dad and my son and all, and it's like, in the movie, you kind of touched me right there a little bit or whatever. I was like, all right.
No, that's the thing. Like, it really is. Like I said, Bill Nighy kills it in this movie, and it's because where, you know, I go back to the Nicholas Sparks thing, where in other movies they wouldn't have developed that character enough for you to give two shits about them dying. In this movie, you really do care because you see how great of a father and how great of a character Bill Nighy's character is. So when he's going down and he's giving that speech to his son, it just makes it all the more, you know, emotional for the audience because it's like, oh, even as he's dying, he's a good dude.
Yeah, Bill Nighy, I mean, you can tell, honestly, he really wants do this. It looked like it could have been a passion project for him. Like you said, he chews up scenery every time he's on. He's having a fucking good time. He's making it seem like this is a real family. He's on vacation with them or something, because every time he's on screen, it's just amazing, whatever. And
I've always thought he was a good actor. I just thought he's gotten dicked by bad scripts.
Yeah, I haven't seen him recently do anything that where he's just stood out the most. I mean,
yeah.
He's always a good actor in it. But another thing I appreciate, too, in here is Rachel McAdams wasn't a bitch. Okay?
No. She is the sweetest, most earnest girl you'll ever see. And then you think back to Mean Girls, it's like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, because, like, once again, something why I don't like romantic comedies is because either a man does something or whatever, and the woman just flips the fuck out to where she's an uncontrollable bitch, and there's no understanding between the two, and they don't have any kind of dialogue between each other or how to work it out or whatever. But in here, she's really just your average girl you want to be around with. Right?
That's the thing, and that's another great thing to point out. You know, once again, the Nicholas Sparks factor. That's what would have happened in a Nicholas Sparks movie. It would have been something, you know, a big fight that would have been caused because somebody decided not to fucking talk. But in this movie, she's actually a realistic girl.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. But once again, we're gonna keep going back to Nicholas Sparks movie. But I am Nicholas Sparks movie. That makes the characters feel like, and I don't really care about these two. They shouldn't even be together. But in here, I was like, I actually want to see him get with this girl. I was like, I hope he sees with her and everything. Like the time where, because going back, rewind real quick, whatever. He goes back in time to help his roommate, as a screenwriter or whatever. And it messed up his whole meeting with this girl. And I was like, oh, dude.
Yeah, no. And that's the thing that I like about it. And that's why, you know, the final shot of the film where he does have the family and he's helping his three kids get ready to school, it's really emotionally powerful because it's like, you know, even though he has his powers, he doesn't really have to use them anymore because he's got everything that he wants. It's what you've wanted to see with this character the whole time.
And Bill Nighy wraps it up before his last final words. He says, my dad gave me two things of advice. He said, use my powers and live my life as a daily basis or whatever. And then he said, now go back in that time and live it like it's the last day or whatever. And he enjoyed it much more or whatever. And I was like, man, God damn you, movie. You touched me again.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's one of those things where it's like, I do like romantic movies. I do. I love to see them when they're done right. And that, you know, you and I have talked about how that's, you know, we have to pray for that to happen every once in a while. But this really did. It's nice. And you know what this reminded me a lot of? It reminded me, around this time last year, I saw a movie like this where it kind of had the same effect on me, although it was a more dramatic movie. Did you ever see Liberal Arts?
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah.
Where this kind of was the same thing, where it's like, oh, this is a nice, adult, mature look at, you know, the romantic comedy drama, where that movie was kind of a more adult, mature look at the romance movie, just kind of in a different light.
More realistic.
Yeah, and that's really what I'm getting at, is that these movies, like, these realistic movies are the ones I'm tending to like more, because it's like, oh, this isn't Hollywood shoving down their ideals down my throat. This is someone who honestly gets how human interaction works and made an honest movie about it.
Yeah, because romantic comedies, I don't know how they feel for you, but they feel like fucking fantasies to me. Just like that.
Oh, I completely agree with you. They're bullshit.
That does not happen in real life. But lately, we've gotten through, I won't count the third one. It started with Silver Linings last year, and Don John recently, whatever. Now this one, romantic comedy is really starting to step his genre up and become. It's really doing something. And I hope this movie, honestly, I hope does well. I'm not gonna lie. I really enjoyed this movie a lot.
I did too, and I just looked up. It's actually doing pretty well financially. It's made $45 million already on its $35 million budget, so it's already a success.
Amazing, or whatever. Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I highly recommend this movie, especially for people who are sick of fucking Nicholas Sparks movies, just having this false idea about how relationships work. Please, please, please go try to see this.
This is something new, too. You know,
I say at the beginning, the time travel thing, it's a gimmick, but it's a very good gimmick.
Yeah, the gimmick is used to dramatic effects, but like I was getting sometimes, because, you know, you want to see this guy get with this girl, but you see him going back to help his family out where his father's telling him, oh, you can't do that, whatever, and he's still doing it. You're kind of like, man, I kind of don't want you to do that no more, neither. I don't want you to fuck up this good thing you have here. You know, you worked hard for this. You know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So I'm going to give this a high C. I mean, this really did floor me.
I mean, I think the reason why it floored you the most, too, is because, once again, we don't really care for romantic comics.
Yeah, and this, like, came under the radar. Like, both of us were like, what the fuck is this? This is probably going to be shit. And then both of us walk out. was great.
When I started seeing the reviews and stuff like that, where I saw it, I was just like, I still want to see it, but I was like, it looks like it's going to be cheesy. But I was just like, actually, the cheesy effects work for this movie. I mean, I don't know.
It's all thanks to the writing.
Cheesy. I call it realistic, and I think it's a perfect date movie if you guys are looking at
it. Oh, hell yes.
I mean, holidays is over, Thanksgiving, Halloween's over, whatever, party is done, whatever. You're looking for a date movie this weekend, whatever. I think this is a great movie right here to see, and I'm right up there with you, man. I have to give it a high C as well.
All right. So, now it's time for me, because two films have finally come to Pittsburgh. Now it's time for me to go feel bad about myself after this high, because 12 Years a Slave is finally released in Pittsburgh, so yippee!
If it makes you feel any better... No, he touched my heart. So, Lehu, if you want to give me a hug right now, you hug me then. Come on.
Okay, I'm going to have to give you a different kind of hug after I go see 12 Years a Slave, but we'll get to that later. So, good night, everyone.
Hello, Whitney!
I'm sorry my people did that to you.
You son of a bitch.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. That's why I whisper in your ear whatever it's like. Now you feel bad now, don't you?
Oh, God.
I never know what the future holds, just like everyone else.
Time catches up to all of us.
My son.
My dad. I've tried to live every day as if it was the final day of my extraordinary, ordinary life.